Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And happy Friday, everyone. This is the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, we just talked a couple days ago, really, about how it was actually a good thing that President Obama was waffling to some extent and now trying to take credit for the Cushing pipeline from Oklahoma down to the Gulf Coast, because it shows that he knows he's losing the issue. And if he's losing the issue, it means conservatives are winning the debate over the Keystone Pipeline in particular as it relates to the ongoing energy debate. But there are other issues where it's pretty clear that Democrats don't want to talk about things and are on the defensive. And nothing is bigger at the end of the week than the 2-year anniversary of Obamacare. And the president, who loves to tout everything, including some of these alternative energy plants he was just at that have been nothing but complete busts and have cost us hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars per job created, he'll celebrate anything. But the understated acknowledgement of the 2-year anniversary of Obamacare speaks volumes. We'll obviously get a lot more of it next week, and hopefully a favorable decision from the Supreme Court. Most Democrats don't want to go anywhere near it. Congratulations. We're stuck with this thing for the moment, but at least it's winning for us politically.
Oh, come now, Greg. Charlie Rangel put out a video on it. You know, he of the 90% Democrat district. He has no political fear of touting it. I see that Barack Obama has just now tweeted about it to people who are already fans of him. So presumably they don't have a problem with Obamacare. But yes, strange. He's going to a lot of swing states. Went to New Mexico and Colorado and Ohio on his recent energy. He's not going to talk about Obamacare there. That's kind of funny, kind of interesting. Yeah. I think it says something that Republicans can't talk about it enough today. The RNC has a huge banner. They had a very funny little video. If you remember the Schoolhouse Rock video of how a bill becomes a law, with a little musical video of this singing little piece of paper.
Right.
Well, the RNC has a crying piece of paper. It's very sad. It's poor Obamacare. Everyone forgot his birthday. He's weeping. He's walking around this little animated piece of paper, weeping, going around Capitol Hill, going around the White House. Nobody wants to remember him. Nobody wants to be associated with him. So, you know, the RNC says, don't worry, Obamacare. We remember you. So you feel a little better for that little anthropomorphic piece of legislation. I think it's a very revealing indicator that Republicans constantly want to talk about this and Democrats don't want to talk about this at all.
I got to like that. Hopefully the extended oral arguments will go well next week. And hopefully once they're over and between now and June, Justice Kennedy is in a good mood, at least as it pertains to us. So that's really the linchpin.
Don't speak snarkily about him. I don't want him here. You know, somebody says, hey, did you hear this, Justice? And before you know it, you know, your little tweaking of him is what puts him in a bad mood that day. You know, we love you, Justice Kennedy. We have nothing but the highest respect for you. We're certain you will consider this important piece of jurisprudence with all appropriate diligence.
On to martini number two now, and hopefully Obamacare will be a major issue in this campaign. The president obviously doesn't want to talk about it, which means the Republican nominee should spend a lot of time talking about it, regardless of what the Supreme Court has to say come June. And right now, it looks like, barring a major shift of events, that Mitt Romney will be that nominee. That is not sitting well with Rick Santorum. He has obviously lost in some of the bigger battles lately of Ohio and Illinois. He'll probably win in Louisiana on Saturday. But Santorum is still going after the Etch-a-Sketch comment and basically saying he doesn't see a whole lot of difference between the incumbent and Mitt Romney.
You win by giving people a choice. You win by giving people the opportunity to see a different vision for our country, not someone who's just going to be a little different than the person in there. If they're going to be a little different, we might as well stay with what we have instead of taking a risk of what may be the Etch-a-Sketch candidate for the future.
Now, Jim, it's no secret that much of the Republican electorate is vastly underwhelmed with the entire field. That's why you've seen polls for months that they hope somebody else gets in. We've seen horrific turnout. That could potentially be their lack of satisfaction with the field. But in the end, the largest and strongest argument for whoever the nominee is that Obama will be vastly worse than they will be as president. Firing Obama is job one here, and for Santorum to even hint that should not still be the number one priority for Republicans, regardless of the nominee, is, let's just say less than helpful, to be charitable.
Yeah, I've tried to keep an open mind. I realize that Rick Santorum is not in a fun place. He's had a couple opportunities to really I think maybe seized the lead in this race, and it has not come together for him. But this is not really excusable. It's frustrating because, one, I don't think that you can make the argument that Mitt Romney and Barack Obama are the same. I think that's just a serious misreading of the subject. Even the Etch-a-Sketch comment, I wrote about this a bit in the Morning Jolt. Saying that Mitt Romney is like an Etch-a-Sketch is not like saying he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. The argument is that Mitt Romney is a flip-flopper, that he's flexible, that he's not a principled guy who will stand his ground when his ideas turn unpopular. That may very well be true, but that's not the same as saying he's a liberal. You know, in other words, there are going to be days when a President Romney would frustrate us. But you know what? There would be days that a President Santorum would frustrate us. I mean, it's kind of, you know, almost built in that at some point a president is going to make decisions that some portion of their base won't like. And, you know, that's the nature of the modern presidency. By what he's saying, if Romney gets the nomination, he won't vote. And I just find that you can't say that if you want to lead the Republican Party. You know, you can't basically say me or nobody. I'm not support. You know, I refuse to support my rivals. And then the next thing is that his spokesman said some variation of that Romney and Obama have been partners for decades. Greg, that timeline does not quite seem correct to me. But also, Greg, if that is the case, why would Rick Santorum endorse Mitt Romney if he's been a partner to Barack Obama for decades? I think we're at the point where this is now you're getting a vibe of desperation. You're getting a vibe of I don't want to say unhinged, but just the statements are just not making sense. And I don't think this is doing Rick Santorum any good. It certainly isn't doing the party good. I understand that he doesn't necessarily want to think terribly well of the long-term interest of the party if it includes Mitt Romney. But in the end, even if you're reluctant to get behind, to drop out or get behind Mitt, I don't think criticisms like this are doing anyone any good, including Santorum. And it's time for a little more maturity, a little more. This is time for the tantrums to end, for everybody to kind of start acting like like grown-ups here. This is there's a toddler-esque, you know, nature to this comment from Santorum.
Speaking of reasons to fire Barack Obama, let's move to martini number three. And the president, as we've mentioned the last couple of days, talking a lot about his energy policies and why he thinks they're a success, even though it's obvious to everyone that they're not. And so the president making two outlandish comments that really demand our attention here, just to make sure that he doesn't get away with them. First of all, doing an interview with the always hard-grilling NPR, who said, "It's so bold of you, sir, to go to a solar plant when there's been so much controversy over Solyndra." And here's the president's explanation of how, you know, really Solyndra is not his fault at all.
We are doing the all-the-above strategy right. Obviously, we wish Solyndra hadn't gone bankrupt. Part of the reason they did was because the Chinese were subsidizing their solar industry and flooding the market in ways that Solyndra couldn't compete. But understand, this was not our program per se.
And so not his program per se. He's talking about how Congress approved, you know, loan guarantees, which they did. You pointed out in the Jolt today, Jim, that they didn't approve this one. That came in the stimulus, which was approved by Democrats, Olympia Snow, Susan Collins, and then-Republican Arlen Specter. So to say this was a bipartisan idea to shovel over $500 million to Solyndra, not exactly true. But if you'd like that one, you're going to love this one. The president in Ohio talking about his complete inability to have any sort of policy that will help to drive down gas prices in the near or really the long term. But the president decided to just go with revisionist history rather than actually trying to solve the problem.
That gas spike feels like a tax hike coming right out of your pocket. That's part of the reason that we passed a payroll tax cut at the beginning of this year, so that the average American would get an extra $40 in every paycheck to help offset the price of gas.
Jim, just how stupid does he think we are? Because that was not clearly the main argument back then. I'm not even sure it was one of them. It certainly wasn't any of the arguments back in the lame duck session of 2010 when they pushed the payroll tax cut to begin with. And then, of course, this Solyndra issue. I think the Republicans have made it pretty clear that they never wanted any part of that and that the president made this the poster child of his green energy agenda.
You know, Greg, I'm just going to stick on Solyndra because that previous statement it actually really hurts my head to think too hard about how I knew gas prices were going to spike earlier this year, so I reduced the payroll tax. So it'll take care of it. Well, really, you know, if you're driving but you don't collect income, well, then you're in trouble. Or if you are collecting income but you don't drive, well, hey, bonus. Yeah, no. crazy idea. Let's do more domestic energy. Let's drill more. Let's do more on public lands. It's going, you know, the amount of oil coming out of public lands is going down on your watch, Mr. President. Let's drill more in the Gulf because you've slowed down the permitting process there. Let's drill in Anwar. Let's build the other half of the pipeline since you decided that your new half a loaf policy is to build half a pipeline. But, you know, just going back to Solyndra, you don't get to say, go to the factory, give a speech, say that Solyndra represents the future of the American economy, and then say months later, well, this was not our program per se. There are a lot of people who were saying yesterday, this, you know, you're not my president per se, which is not an – I don't think that's necessarily a healthy or appropriate remark, but he's just blathering now. He just is just, you know – we've reached the cooking spaghetti stage of this debate in which he's just throwing things up against the wall and seeing what sticks. I'm not surprised to hear people applauding when he says these things. Because if you come out to see the president could come out and say, you know, I'm not even algae in your car. I'm going to put oatmeal in the tank of your car, and it will fuel your car. And most people are like, yeah, that's what they do. That's, you know, people are happy to see the president in their town. So the president's numbers are in trouble, and I'd be interested to see how things look next week, because I can't imagine that this energy tour did him that much good, particularly with excuses like this.
Keep trying to convince us, Mr. President. I just went to the pump, and it was 403 for regular. So you can talk about spreading the blame around all you want, but not working, because people are hurting, and you've done nothing to address the problem in a way that actually is substantive. So
I like that slogan, not working, because people are hurting.
You can make the checks payable to Greg Karambas of Radio America. Jim, have a fabulous weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Karambas of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. And as we just mentioned, please join us again on Monday, opening day of oral arguments at the Supreme Court over Obamacare, by the way, for the next 3 Martini Lunch.